darkness we are waiting, without hope, without light. So from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From the throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the
Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask for help. So we're going to have a children's story up here. Sorry, Walter. Yeah. All right. Now get out and go away. No. Thank you, Walter. Thank you, Christian and Maya. I would now like to invite all of the children to come up for the children's sermon. If you'd like to sit up here with me, I'm going to read you a story. And I will let you guys decide what the age where you get cut off as children is. Everyone is welcome to come and sit with us. Do you want me to? Thank you. Yeah, good eye. All right, who else? Come on up. Oh. That's good too. All right, are we all here? Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming up to sit with me up here. So I have to read alone. It's God. I'm glad you're here. We're going to read this book called You Are Special by Max Lucado. All right. This is the picture. I'll show you the pictures while I read. The Wemmicks were a small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall, and others were short. Some wore hats, and others wore coats. But they were all made by the same carver and all lived in the same village. See, there's the village where they all live. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of gold star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. And everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else to get another star. Others, though, could do little, and they got dots. Punchinello was one of those. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, others would gather around him and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched. And so the people would give him more dots. Then when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up and give him a gray dot for no reason at all. See, there's poor Punchinello. He deserves a lot of dots, the wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a very good wood person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around with the other Wemmicks who had lots of dots, and he felt better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or no stars. She was just wooden, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers, it's just that the stickers didn't stick to her. Some of the Wemmicks admire Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day, I go to see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli. the woodcarver. I sit in the wood shop with him. Why? Why don't you go and find out for yourself? Go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear, so Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into a big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench, and there he saw a hammer as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. But then he heard his name. Punchinello! The voice was deep and strong, so Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned around slowly and looked at a large bearded craftsman. You know my name? Said the little Wemmick. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and sat him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried really, really hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give out stars or dots? They're just Wemmicks, like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you are pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? And Eli looked at little Punchinello and put his hands on those wooden shoulders and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine, and that's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you would come to me, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will. It will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day and let remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked over to the door, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. The end. So this story, it tells us about a little Wemmick named Punchinello and Eli his maker. And so in the story, Eli represents God. And so God made each and every one of you, and you are special and you are loved, and God loves you so much because he made you. And so let us always remember that God loves us no matter what anyone else says. Okay? That's it. The end.
If you're able to stand.
Little town of Bethlehem, you see. All is well. All is well. Angels in heaven rejoice. For tonight darkness fell. It to
tonight we are gathered together to worship God as we celebrate the wonderful news of Jesus' birth and reflect on all that it means. The angels declare in Luke 2:10 that I bring you good news of great joy, which was for all people, for everyone. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, this is great news. This is the best news. This is the most wonderful news. But I don't know if we always feel the magnitude of this news. I wonder if sometimes the news of Jesus' birth can kind of like be hearing like a sports team that you don't really care about, but you hear that they won a big game. And you know that some people are really excited about it. But you wonder, does that really affect my life? Does that matter to me? John the Baptist, he declared about Jesus that, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now we know that sin leads to death. We know that Jesus saves us from our sin. But again, this can all feel kind of abstract sometimes, can it not? We know the result of our sin leads to death, but knowing our sinful choices, our disobedience to God, can sometimes feel like knowing that one of your uncles, again, disapproves of how you're living your life. Right? It feels a little distant, a little removed. The concept of sin can feel abstract, but the effects of sin are much more easily understood. They're much more real to us in our lives. The birth of Jesus the Savior is such good news of great joy for many, many reasons. But primary among these reasons is that Jesus both saves us from our sin and washes us of our shame. We all feel shame. Do we not feel shame at times, right? Have you ever felt shame? We experience shame at times in this life. And shame is defined as the painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Just like little Punchinello trying so hard, but falling down. People pointing and laughing and putting gray dots on him. We've all had people put shame on us for the silly things that we've done, the bad things that we've done. And sometimes we even put gray dots on ourselves as we feel shame as we think about our lives. We live in a fallen and broken world where we do, in fact, make bad choices and do bad things. None of us are perfect, and we all feel shame over that. Like flinging paint against the wall, sometimes it seems like the world is just coating us with colors that we'd rather not be wearing. This is shame. Now, again, I believe that at times we all feel this and we hate it. I mean, I know I hate when people see my flaws and my shortcomings. I do everything I can to try to hide them. And I hate it when people see them and judge me for them. So the birth of Jesus is such good news of great joy because Jesus not only saves us from our sin, but he also washes us of our shame. He takes whatever shame or whatever colors of shame that others throw on us and he takes them off. And his birth secures that. Now, how does he do this? Well, first, let me tell you some stories of shame and how they point to Jesus. Now, the first story of shame is about one of my sisters, because why tell an embarrassing story of yourself when you can tell one of your about your sister? And she would definitely kill me if she was here, but she's not, so I'm going to continue. My sister, back in college, she was dating someone, and it was going pretty well. And so he invited her to a big family gathering, a huge family party, so that she could meet his relatives and everyone that she hadn't met yet. And so they get there and they enter the room and everyone's kind of gathered around them and they're standing together, close together. And everyone's, you know, it's one of these like, hi, nice to meet you. So, you know, this on and that on and cousins and everything. When my sister, what she says is that she ripped probably the loudest fart she'd ever done in her life. I mean, how embarrassing, right? Everyone's staring at them. What do you do in that situation? Everyone just is kind of like, oh my gosh, what just happened? My sister felt shame over her fart in front of everyone. What would her boyfriend do to help her or to embarrass her? How does this relate to Christmas? Well, give me a minute. Let me first tell you the second story before I finish this story. Now, the second story of shame involves a young lady in a small Jewish town. Mary was a virgin. A lady who had never been with a man. Mary was visited by an angel and became pregnant by the Holy Spirit and was asked to submit to God's plan for her, for the world through her. But this plan would bring her great and undeserved shame. Just think about it. This is a traditional society. Think about the names that Mary would be called as she got pregnant before she was married, out of wedlock. Think about, again, the labels, the titles that people would fling on her to see what would stick. What would her fiancé think? Maybe he would leave her instead of marrying her. Mary could have opted out. She could have tried to abort the baby. She could have said no to God's plan and the hardship that it would bring on her. But Mary submitted herself to God's plan, and she took the undeserved shame of the situation upon herself. And in doing so, Mary points us to Jesus at the cross. Now, Joseph, too, is a part of this story. He, too, was visited by an angel. He, too, was asked by God to submit to God's plan of salvation. And he, too, was asked then to bear undeserved shame. What would others say about him? The fool who married the girl, even though she cheated on him. Joseph could have left Mary. Joseph could have rejected God's plan. But Joseph submitted himself to God's plan, and he took the undeserved shame of the situation upon himself. And in doing so, Joseph points us to Jesus at the cross. So how about my sister's boyfriend? How did he respond to the situation? Did he respond to this situation in a way that would point to Christ? Remember, they are standing with the family around them. They're close to each other. Everyone's looking at them. My sister has just blasted a giant fart. How could her boyfriend have modeled Christ in that moment? He's standing right next to her. he could have claimed the fart. It's his family, right? He could have said, you know, oh, I'm sorry, guys. You know, let's, you know, no big deal. Let's move on, and not made a big deal of it, and almost, you know, kind of claimed the fart, taken her shame undeservedly upon himself. Now, the fact that this is one of my sister's ex-boyfriends can tell you that he didn't respond that way. He didn't quite model Christ in the moment. It happened. He looked at her and he was like, oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, that's so embarrassing. Guys, did you just see what you did? Did you hear that? He glammed it up and he blew it. My sister had farted. She deserved the shame and the finger pointing of that fart. Which, don't laugh. We all, I mean, at times we've all farted in front of someone. But this guy, he could have modeled Christ for her. He could have modeled Christ for his family if he had claimed the fart and taken her shame upon himself, washing her of it by bearing it himself. The birth of Jesus is good news of great joy for many reasons. The primary is because Jesus saves us from our sin and washes us of our shame. He looks at us, he sees our shame, the shame that we deserve, and he takes it upon himself, and in doing so, he washes it off of us. Jesus is perfect, free from all sin and shame, but he chose to come down, born as a baby. He entered into our world. He sits with us in our darkness, and he reaches out, and he takes our sin and shame upon himself so that he can then take the blanket of his righteousness and clothe us and cover us, washed, pure, and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is finished at the cross and proved in the empty tomb, but it begins with Jesus' birth. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and who takes away the shame of the world. Jesus came so that he could take our shame undeservedly upon himself so that we might bear it no more. So the question is, have you given your shame to Jesus? Have you let Jesus bear your sin and wash you of your shame? Have you placed your trust in Jesus for who he is and what he has done? Just like Punchinello going to talk to Eli, we do this as we talk to God, as we pray to God, as we invite him to come in and be a part of our lives as he's waiting. He's longing for us to go and see him. And then as we look to the cross and as we see what Jesus has done, dying for our sins, saving us from our sin, and washing us with his blood from all of our shame that we feel in this life. The birth of Jesus starts a line of events that lead to the cross. The birth of Jesus is the birth of our Savior, and this is good news of great joy because Jesus saves us from our sin and washes us of our shame. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus Christ the Son to live a life among us, born of a baby, to go through all that we experience and yet without sin, to go through life, to experience the many ups and downs of it, but then to go to the cross and to bear our shame and our sin to the cross, to take it up in the cross and to die in our place so that we might be free, saved, and washed clean. So God, I pray for each one of us that we'd more fully trust in your love, not in what the world says about us, or even what we say about ourselves, but help us to trust what you say about us, that you loved us so much, that you came to this earth as a baby, to grow up, to live a life, and then to die in our place, so that we might be restored to a right relationship with you. God, I pray for each person here. Help us to seek you, help us to know you and to find you. And I pray, Lord, that we would know that we love you because you have first loved us. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd stand, we're going to continue singing in your booklet with Come and Worship. Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, as you are the great provider, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you give us each and every day. We take this time now, Lord, as we continue to worship you, to give back just a small portion of that, just as a gift for the operation of our ministries here at the church, Lord. We thank you again for all that you do for us, for all that you provide for us, and we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
We're going to stand for the last two songs, and if you turn your candles on, we'll sing together, O Holy Night and Silent Night.
Thank you.
myself, and there are many people in this church, every one of us is on a path, a spiritual path. And so wherever you are on that path, I'd love to come alongside you and help you to take your next step, whatever it may be. So feel free to reach out to me. The information in the church is in your bulletin. Wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Go with God's peace. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you for today, and I thank you, you're a God of forgiveness and grace and love, and that you came down, that you are Emmanuel, you are our God with us. And so, God, I pray your blessing upon each person here. I pray your blessing upon their families. Lord, help us to feel your love and your joy and your peace and your hope tomorrow as we celebrate your birth with our families, as we share the love of one another. Let us help us to remember the great love of you in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, I pray your blessing upon each person here as they go, and pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hi. I'm good. Merry Christmas.